Good evening, Wisconsin. Welcome to your Paul Revere Show, folks. This is attorney Mark Thompson. We are here every Monday night from 7 to 8 on WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. And folks that have been listening know that we're always focused in on democracy. And I thought it would be really, really crucial if we're going to be true to our calling that we spend the next hour talking about a day that happened 3 years and 2 days ago. And I say January 6th, 2021, the day the Confederate flag with the first flew in our Capitol, folks. Never before until Trump called folks out and they stormed the Capitol. Now, a lot has been going on about this. And before I get to my esteemed guest, Senator Chris Larson, who has been an advocate of democracy for a long, long time here in Wisconsin, I thought it was really important to just touch on something that happened that was very significant in December of 2023. As some of you might know, I serve on the Elections Commission as a Wisconsin Election Commissioner. It's one of the duties I have in terms of my public service. But I serve on that commission with a person called Robert F. Spindell Jr. And Mr. Spindell Jr. was a fake elector. He participated in conduct prior to the insurrection day, prior to January 6, 2021. And he recently, along with the other fake electors, signed an agreement. And I don't know if a lot of people know about it, but this is what Mr. Spindell has said in quotes. On December 14th, 2020, in compliance with requests received from the Trump campaign and the Republican Party of Wisconsin, we met at the Wisconsin State Capitol and executed a document titled Certificate of the Votes of the 2020 Electors from Wisconsin. That document stated in part that we were the duly elected and qualified electors for president and vice president of the United States of America from the state of Wisconsin. The electoral respondents took the foregoing action because they were told that it was necessary to preserve their electoral votes in the event a court challenge may later change the outcome of the election in Wisconsin. That document was then used as part of an attempt to improperly overturn the 2020 presidential election results. Folks, this is an admission by the fake electors in Wisconsin, all Republicans, that said they were duped. That's what they say. But at the base is they said it was improperly used to overturn the 2020 presidential election, and that was then used to storm the Capitol. So I thought it would be very, very useful to have Senator Chris Larson here to help really explore what was Wisconsin's role in this day, January 3rd, 2020, I mean, January 6th, 2021. Go ahead, Senator.
Yeah, thank you, Mark, and thanks for bringing attention to this important issue. And of course, serving on the Wisconsin Election Commission, which in a normal time is a heavy lift. But yeah, being on there with somebody who was a key part and advocate of the insurrection and somebody who has continued to try and discount people's votes is no small thing. So thank you for that. We had a press conference just late last week, going into the weekend, with some groups who are for the most part are on the nonpartisan side, and that includes the Wisconsin Election Commission, or sorry, the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Pardon me, the League of Women Voters was there, and we also had Rear Admiral Michael Smith, who is somebody who had served in the Navy, had been nonpartisan in that role until what happened on January 6th, and he realized he could no longer stay silent. And especially with this cycle now coming up, he is making sure that that people recognize the danger of electing or even flirting with the idea of electing Donald Trump into office again. And it was really moving talking to him and talking and hearing him speak, because you could tell that this was not something that came naturally to him. As he said, politics is something that he had avoided his entire life. He was detached from it, serving whoever he needed to. But as he put it, it was one of the darkest days in our state's, our nation's history. I think it's important to make sure that we recognize that, because there is every time, every year that this date is passed, an effort to try and paper over it and pretend that something different happened. That is unacceptable, and it's a key way where we will relive that, unfortunately. And I feel like we might be on that track if Republicans nominate a candidate who is going to not accept the next election results and will gin up his supporters once again. I think it tells a very clear message that, you know, one, I think that he is disqualified from running at all. And for that very reason, that he is somebody who does not accept any results, doesn't accept the results of elections.
So the focusing in on, in terms of your analysis, sitting in the Senate here in Wisconsin, how do you see folks in Wisconsin playing a part of this insurrection day? Who do you identify as some of the players that we've learned about, and what are the lessons to be learned? If we're going to use this hour to talk about this, let's try to sum up some of the key lessons.
Yeah. Well, we had the fake electors in the state of Wisconsin. It was actually through an open records request that we discovered, you know, which room they were planning on being, and which, you know, as fate would have it, was the same room that we had the press conference in, bringing attention to this, the Senate parlor. It turns out once pictures finally came out, which we didn't get till about 6 months ago in a court ruling from Georgia, which just shows how widespread this is, that we actually saw the room in the Capitol where they had met. The fake electors, they came together and they did this on a day where the Supreme Court had already ruled that our state Supreme Court had already ruled that the legal options were exhausted by Donald Trump and his campaign. The people in the room, the fake electors, knew that as they passed around this document and signed it. They knew that Trump had lost. They knew that the legal options were exhausted. And by the way, that vote by the state Supreme Court was 4-3, which again shows that we have three members of the state Supreme Court. And I think if anybody's paying attention, they know exactly which three those are, who wanted to continue to allow Donald Trump to just push legal theories until he could put question the election results when there was no question. When every other state, 65 other cases all said, all 65 cases said that he had no, that he had exhausted all legal remedies and had lost the election. So anyways, remembering that as the Supreme Court moves forward, that's a huge reflection on what's happening in the state, that we have Supreme Court justices who are election denialists and Trump sympathizers. But those 10 electors in our state, they're still involved in politics. They have not been prosecuted. Wisconsin is one of only two states right now where there has not been any criminal proceedings against the fake electors. Other states, Michigan is moving forward with a lawsuit by the state attorney general against him. And that one is, I think, the most powerful. Otherwise, other states are looking at this too. But in Wisconsin, right now, it is just a civil matter that they're pursuing it. And the only thing that has been decided, frankly, I think is a slap on the wrist, is saying that they cannot serve as electors for Donald Trump again. That's it. They're still allowed to participate in the political process. They're still allowed to be electors for a future presidential candidate that's not Donald Trump. And you just think about that, Mark, and just to think about, like, there's a great deal of attention to something called voter ID, which is you have to have an ID because if you don't have that, you're not allowed to vote, because they say, oh, there's widespread election fraud. When fraud is found out, in most cases it is, those people are prosecuted. Those people go to prison, right? And those people cannot vote again. They lose their vote. And so the idea that we are holding people who tried to wipe out the voters of Wisconsin and replace it with their own will to a different standard, I think it sets a horrible precedent, and it almost guarantees that this will happen again.
So let me just touch on that, because I voted to dismiss the complaint in the Wisconsin Election Commission based on the agreement by the fake electors. And so the issue is, in terms of criminal culpability, the DOJ looked at it and said, from a criminal culpability, there wasn't the evidence to establish that Spindell and the Wisconsin fake electors knew about Trump's plan. Now, they had evidence from other states that the fake electors in other states knew. So in this case, the lawyers that handled it did not find that similar evidence. Now, and I can completely understand why people are skeptical, but I think at one level, it's a slap on the hand to say you can't be an elector and other thing. But to me, what's really, really significant about the agreement is they were the election deniers. They were the leading group of people that went around this state and said that the election was rigged. And this is what they said: we hereby reaffirm that Joseph R. Biden Jr. won the 2020 presidential election. Okay? The fake electors, the election deniers, have said publicly loud and clear that Joe Biden won and that Trump was the biggest loser ever. Folks, we'll be on the other side with Senator Larson to talk about what are we going to do with these non-believers. Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night, 7 to 8, on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM. I am honored and privileged to have Senator Chris Larson here tonight. We're talking about what happened 3 years and 2 days ago, the insurrection at our Capitol, January 6th. 2021, and Wisconsin's role in that sad, sad day. We were sort of talked about the fake electors in Wisconsin, the first section, Senator, and we talked about the fact that these fake electors, who were the main election deniers in the state, came out and said unequivocally that President Biden won. And let me read one other thing that they said. We oppose any attempt to undermine the public's faith in the ultimate results of the 2020 presidential election and Biden's victory. So the question is, how do we use that admission by the key Republicans to go around the state and say, look, folks, you've been believing in Spindell's lies for 3 years and Trump's lies, and now you know firsthand from those people in the know, right, in that room with the fake electors, and they all said it was all a scam on you. What do we do with that?
Right. I mean, look, I think that that's important that message gets out there. This is, unfortunately, Mark, I mean, this is example 1,000,001 of Republicans being hypocrites, right? Of saying one thing publicly and another thing privately, of acknowledging reality, right? You could add a long list of things to that, from climate change denial to, you know, the effects of cancer causing and cigarette use. Up to, you know, where they are right now on this, of to the point of saying very clearly, yes, Joe Biden won. And frankly, I've heard this from my colleagues, too. I have a lot of Republican colleagues, 22 of them to be exact, through gerrymandering, another huge form of voter suppression. But what's a fun pastime of mine is just listening to them. You know, and a lot of things happen when somebody thinks that they're right all the time, which they do because they take a vote and they win 22-11. So they think they're right whenever the vote is taken, whether they're right or wrong. In most cases, they're wrong because they're out of touch with the majority of the people.
Yeah. And let me just remind my listeners, right? When Senator Larson says they win 22-11 is because they've rigged the Senate. They have 22 votes and there's 11 opposition votes.
Yep.
And so regardless of the merits, they win. So
yes.
But anyway, absolutely, we'll go back to that, you know, we'll see.
Two-thirds. And so anyways, they'll speak pretty candidly and almost to a person, you know, and of course they'll deny this out publicly, but to a person, they don't like Donald Trump. And they recognize him for the fraud, for the scam that he is. But they can't go out there and say that publicly because they'll get taken out politically. Their political future relies on it. And incidentally, as Mark mentioned, those gerrymandered districts that they have that prop them up and keep them in power, well, they're also cages, right? Because they can only be taken out in those gerrymandered districts by Republican primaries. So even those that know better, they can't come out and say it. So They recognize all this, and it is a really an act of cowardice that they continue to refuse to push back in the state of Wisconsin as across the country. And if you need a clear example of somebody who did this, you need to look no further than Mike Gallagher, who is the congressman for the 8th Congressional District, who on January 6th famously went out on his webcam and said, Donald Trump has to call an end to this, right? And now you go and you know, he is part of this cabal of people who denies that Donald Trump had anything to do with the insurrections. Oh, these were just people, you know, it wasn't directly involved. But he specifically, when his life was in danger, that was it. The charade was over. And he was recognizing, okay, if I'm going to be killed, we need to pull the plug on this. Donald Trump stopped this, right? But then once he was out of harm's way, you back into the tank for Donald Trump. So I think it demonstrates, one, that they're not really adhering to their principles, which I think they live by that and make all people serving in public office look bad. But making sure that the public recognizes that frankly they're not holding to their standard. You should hold individual politicians accountable when they don't do that. And we got a whole slew of them. Right. Fake electors are key, but a lot of those Republican office holders who refuse to accept the election results, they need to be called out and they need to be taken out. And those gerrymandered maps that we talked about, they're on their way out. Right. This Friday, we're going to be getting new maps coming down from the court. A set of them will come out publicly. And that changes the dynamic through our state where some of these folks will be held accountable for the first time in 12 years since gerrymandering kicked in. So yeah. Political gravity is finally going to set in the state of Wisconsin again.
Yeah, I want to come back to that topic and go at it, but I wanted to the fake electors admissions. Sure. And when they say that their certificate of votes, their certificate was false, and it was part of an attempt to improperly overturn the 2020 presidential election results, is a powerful, powerful message that I think people need to know. You know, I don't think the press has actually talked about the fact that the main election deniers, the main people in Wisconsin that were orchestrating this piece, again, and we're going to touch on Senator Johnson's role of that piece to, you know, and as a messenger to Vice President Pence, but that they are saying now they know that it was part of that scheme to overturn the elections. And to me, I think we have to use that to rally independents and everybody that's other than these deniers, right? Because, you know, you're right. I don't know if we can convince somebody that still believes that Trump won. I mean, look, the people inside know. Robert Spindell is Senator LeMahieu's person on the commission. He says Biden won, right? Biden won, and he said he can't oppose, he's going to oppose any attempt to undermine it, right?
Couldn't say it any better than that, yeah.
Absolutely, right? I mean, don't we go there and say, look, folks, your people in the room say Biden won, Trump is the biggest loser in the world. Can't we really use that? Hey, folks, we'll be back on the other side with Senator Chris Larson talking about why Trump is the biggest loser in the world. And we'll be right back, folks. This is your Paul Revere Show, Attorney Mark Thompson. Welcome back to your Paul Revere Show. We are here Monday night, every Monday night, 7 to 8 p.m. WAUK, 540 a.m., 101.1 FM. Hey, Anya is a great producer, so hey, if you want to jump in, call 844-967-2789 and get in on the conversation. I'm honored to have Senator Chris Larson here. We've been talking about Wisconsin's fake electors and their concession admission that they created a document that was used as a part of an attempt to improperly overturn the 2020 presidential election results. And equally important, they affirmed that President Biden won the 2020 presidential election. And so for everybody out there that still talks about there's evidence that the Biden loss is just not true, folks. Trump lost the popular vote in the United States by about 7 million votes. Okay, this was not close. Trump is the biggest loser America's ever seen. But I want to talk a little bit more with you, Senator Larson. We have a U.S. Senator, Senator Ron Johnson, that played a part in this act to try to overturn the election. So how do you see his role in this? You're muted. This is radio.
Oh, there
you
go.
It's really important to talk on radio.
You folks can't lip read. That's good. Thanks for the reminder. Yeah, I mean, I think Ron, you know, people forget about Ron Johnson because he's a lot of people, you know, you'd get frustrated all the time if you think too much about Ron Johnson and what he is and what he represents. But one of the things that I posted about over the weekend was the stark realization that Ron Johnson has yet to be held accountable for his role in trying to overturn the 2020 presidential election, right? It came out during the January 6th hearings in the House of Representatives that Ron Johnson had texted with the vice president's assistant trying to turn over fake electors. Those certificates that we referenced earlier today on the radio show here, that same certificate, which, you know, we now, everyone on there has admitted that Joe Biden won, and we know that it was part of that scheme to try and overturn the election. He was the one, you know, in the literally the 11th hour, trying to walk around the Capitol and hand it to Mike Pence, along with another state. I think it was Michigan or Arizona. Do you remember, Mark?
See, I'd have to double check, so I don't want to get misquoted here. But
yeah, that's all right. Same. Welcome. Yeah, exactly. So the thing to realize is not just Wisconsin, but another state he was trying to knock out. And luckily, the Vice President Mike Pence had like the one moment of clarity in his entire 4 years serving under Donald Trump as his VP. And I think it was him realizing and accepting that they lost the election and realizing he needed to think about life afterwards, after post Donald Trump Republican Party, which a lot of other Republicans started to think about, but they all retreated away. But luckily for that rare moment in time, Mike Pence and his staff stood strong and responded to our senator, to a U.S. senator, do not give him that. Do not give him that. Give him the envelope with these fake electors trying to overturn the election, because they knew that he had a limited role and that this attempt to try and put the election into question was going to cause more chaos, would have caused a huge problem in the country, and frankly was not a path any American should have ever considered taking. Ron Johnson's a part of accountability on that. You know, folks will famously remember once that came out that he pretended to be on his cell phone while being chased and asked about his role in that. And then finally, once it turned out the reporters had more endurance than him as he tried to walk away, they finally got him to say, you know, his excuse. And his excuse was pretty light. It was, there was only a few seconds. It was only a few seconds. My involvement in trying to overturn the election in the state of Wisconsin and one other state, and thereby trying to overturn the presidential election in our state. And that was, he basically admitted his role. But he said, it was only a few seconds. He has yet to even apologize, acknowledge his landmine revelation. And frankly, it should be disqualifying for him to serve as a U.S. senator, given what his role was in this. But unfortunately, our criminal justice system nationally has been very slow walking in trying to recognize the threat that persists within our borders.
Yeah. You know, I to me, it's just not it's not only the criminal justice system. I think part of it is, as citizens, all of us have to have a more vigorous debate and discussion of these issues. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we talk about the context of what was happening, you know, and that's why I wanted to, you know, thank you for being here on, you know, this third anniversary in 2 days after Insurrection Day. There were gallows outside erected where they were going to hang Mike Pence. I mean, you think about that they actually had gallows out in public and they were screaming, hang Mike Pence. Now, the people screaming, hang Mike Pence, they obviously weren't in the Capitol tearing it up, right? They were outside still. Mm-hmm. And this notion that you know, most folks there were just, you know, nice folks protesting. I mean, you think about that. You're out there with people that are threatening to hang the Vice President of the United States if he doesn't violate the Constitution and do what he's supposed to do. Right. I mean, you know, that I think we have to talk to people, because I think a lot of people don't really know that. And I think they forgot. Look, there were 140 right. police officers
injured. Yeah.
President Biden attended funerals of dead police officers.
Yeah.
Right. this group of people that say that they're for law enforcement, that's, you talk about hypocrisy, right? Yeah. They're out there cheering for the people killing, I mean, hurting cops and, right, and killing police officers, you know, and threatening to hang our vice president. You know, we have to start talking about this. You know, as, yeah, let me just steal a quote from President Biden. He gave a speech on January 5th, and he said, today we're here to answer the most important of questions. Is democracy still America's sacred cause? I mean it. This is not rhetorical, academic, or hypothetical. Whether democracy is still America's sacred cause, and we can put in there, is it Wisconsin's sacred cause, mm-hmm, is the most urgent question of our time, and it's what the 2024 election is all about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do we do as citizens to help convince our fellow citizens that's it? Because I think you agree,
yeah,
that democracy is on the ballot.
Yes. Yeah, very strongly. Very strongly. I think, frankly, Mark, the way that people are going to understand this, and I get that the polls are worrying, but let them be motivating too, in recognizing the divide, the difference. And frankly speaking, there are things that Joe Biden and his administration have done that I'm not super excited about, right? But it's not fortuitous to list those things out when I agree with them on 95% of issues. Oh, and by the way, he's the only candidate in the race who's going to accept the election results, right? And he's the only one who believes in the ongoing experiment of democracy in our country. He is the only one who is not going to try and displace the way that our country works with one man rule, which is built on an empire of fraud, of betrayal, and just the most horrible things that you know, you can imagine in an American, probably the worst American, who has taken advantage of the systems that are meant to benefit everybody while trying to pull the ladder up behind them, including the ability to have one person, one vote. That's a very clear story that I think people need to know. And I think people need to recognize that as much as there might be frustrations with where things are, that nothing will improve under Donald Trump, that we had higher unemployment then, that there was his only signature accomplishment was a huge tax cut for the richest in the country. And beyond that, you know, they just kind of flailed around and just made an embarrassment rotating through people in his administration and never getting around to doing things to actually help the public. So any issue that a person is dealing with in America right now, frankly, is because that they could have been solved 4 years earlier had Donald Trump not been elected. You know, there's a lot that needs to be done, making childcare more affordable, making sure that home ownership is within reach for a generation, making sure that college debt does not prevent a person from making major life choices in this generation as it did for other generations where they were allowed to succeed in life. All of those things, right? Climate change, all of these things, there's only one avenue, right? And frankly, it's continuing to have a democracy. Anything else that you care about is lost if Donald Trump becomes the president again.
You know, going back to the fake elector, Robert Spindell, who is now committed to telling Wisconsin that Trump is a loser and Biden won the election. What do we do? You know, Senator LeMahieu appointed Robert Spindell. What discussions have there been in the Senate about the fact of, you know, about Spindell's role and his now admission that, you know, he knows that Biden won? I mean, has there been any discussion?
You give us too much credit, Mark. There's not that much discussion on the floor of the Senate, and most of it is by the Democrats. Republicans kind of sit back and don't really speak all that much, unfortunately. But on this, there was a proposal that moved forward, which was, you know, and I can't remember the exact details of it, but it was one that was in re-endorsing a version of the election denial, right? In the assembly, they had their Michael Gableman, $1 million, you know, Scooby-Doo investigation where these guys were running around trying to sniff out clues all over the place. I guess the only way that comparison falls short is at the end of a Scooby-Doo episode, they found somebody. But in this case, you know, the crook at the end of it was Robin Voss and Michael Gableman, who tried to pull one over on the state of Wisconsin. Senate didn't do that. Senate didn't go that route. But they did. They do continue to try and push fake election stuff and try to prevent by what they do is I think more dangerous, because the stuff that Michael Gableman, Robin Voss, it's easy to point out. And it's there's lots of memes out there where they take their you know, Mike Lindell talking points, and they just look foolish. In the Senate, it's more dangerous. What they're trying to do there is prevent people from voting. Theirs is a forward-looking one, which is preventing people from voting as easily as possible and trying to pass those things. Mike Spindell's name was used on the floor, rightfully so, to call out Devin Lemieux, the Senate Republican leader, to say, look, you are continuing to push doubt. When you say we need to find clarity in our election, the reason there is not clarity is because of Bob Spindell, and he does not deserve to be on the Wisconsin Election Commission. That point was unanswered by Levin Lemieux.
Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here with Senator Chris Larson. We'll be back on the other side. Hello, folks. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. I'm honored to have Senator Chris Larson here. We're talking about Wisconsin's role in Insurrection Day, January 26, 2021, when the election deniers and the insurrectionists stormed the Capitol and flew the Confederate flag for the first time in our Capitol. We spent a lot of time talking about how the fake electors, Wisconsin fake electors, in December of 2023 came out and confessed that they created a document that was used as part of this scheme. They confessed that Joseph Biden is in fact the president, and everything to the contrary has been nothing but lies. So here we are, you're in the Senate. We have, and you brought it up, and that's why I wanted to end with it, right? We have a lawsuit about new maps and an attempt to turn around the partisan gerrymander that the Republicans have been able to put in place, you know, for the last 12, 13 years, actually. How do you see it going forward? What's the role of the Senate, and what should we be looking at? If you can help us from the inside, you know, a lot of us have just heard, you know, we know that there's going to be maps showing up on the 12th.
Yeah.
January 12th. So what does that mean for all of us folks just watching?
Your vote, that means for every person in the state, your vote is going to count a whole lot more than it did in 2022 and 2020 and in every election before that, where it was cast in a gerrymandered district. So that means that the legislature, hopefully, and again, we don't know the final outcome. The maps are going to be delivered to the court on Friday. That from there, they're going to choose from those that fit the criteria they've outlined. They've hired nonpartisan consultants to do that, et cetera, et cetera. So we don't know what the maps are. I can say they're going to be fairer with certainty because we have the most gerrymandered state in the country, right? Where your vote, 50-50 elections result in the state Senate being 66% Republican, 33% Democrat, results in the Assembly being 63% Republican and 36% Democrat, right? With a 50-50 election, a 50-50 state. So your vote is going to count a whole lot more. What that means is so much, not just through elections, but that means your call is going to get picked up a lot more often at the state capitol when you're calling about an issue. That means your voice is going to be heard a lot more than it was before. We've basically allowed Republicans, we haven't allowed, but they've put themselves through gerrymandering in a soundproof chamber where they can block out the public, where they can block out protest, where they can ignore emails, where they can ignore the demands of a public, which is why we have such lopsided polls calling for specific things to be done and for them not being done, right? I think of marijuana legalization in the state of Wisconsin, 59% support it. You think of common sense gun reforms that poll in the high 70% that they refuse to act on. Things to make sure our public schools are funded more adequately, that we're not behind 14 years after inflation on where a child is worth in a public school in the state. All these things, wildly publicly popular, but Republicans have just been able to ignore the people. So when fair maps come down, what that is going to mean is one, your voice is going to be heard a lot more, but also means that there's going to be a rush of bad legislation coming through. We're already seeing it to try and usurp Democratic, small d, Democratic control of the state. One of those things is trying to change the standard for passing a constitutional amendment to being a two-thirds vote instead of just being a majority and the standard that it is right now. That means that they're also going to continue to try and use their power to limit people from voting. Luckily, we have the state Supreme Court to prevent those kind of shenanigans this time around, but it doesn't mean they're not going to push all kinds of misinformation. I think every election before this set a new lower bar for the efforts to try and dissuade people from voting. We are going to see that. And frankly, what that looks like is in the last election, there was a 16-point gap in voter turnout in the city of Milwaukee versus the rest of the state. And that just shows that their tactics to try and suppress votes in urban areas has been working, and we have to work double time to make sure we beat it back.
You know, touching on a couple of these issues, you started out with the marijuana question, and the consensus around the state is to legalize it. And you know, common sense says if Michigan, Illinois, Minnesota are selling it, it's legal and people are making money and becoming wealthy on it. It's insane that we sit here and lose out. I mean, just from a fiscal financial point of view, why would we ignore the market and why would we ignore taxing it when it's a source of revenue? I mean, what kind of Wisconsin dollars are going to our neighbors that are taxed elsewhere? I mean, it seems mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, 160. You're trying to put a price tag to it. 168 million annually that Wisconsin is leaving on the table in tax revenue. But even beyond that, just the sheer manpower that we are wasting. 57% of arrests 2 years ago in the state of Wisconsin were for marijuana possession. Which just thinking of other issues of what we could be tackling in the state, that is not one of them, where it's legal in some form or another in 38 other states. So we're way behind on it. This is something where we could end up having all, you know, frankly, people could live their lives and instead of having a red mark on their record for the rest of their life. That is something that I feel very strongly about. And there was a proposal to put forward today that's I don't think it's worth the paper that it's written on. It would be the most restrictive in the country. So yes, all of these issues it just shows the public 59% want to see full legalization in the state. And the proposal they came out with today, it wouldn't have been considered bold even 10 years ago.
Folks, This is your Paul Revere Show. You've been listening to a conversation between attorney Mark Thompson and Senator Chris Larson. And for full disclosure, he's also the senator I get to vote for. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
But folks, this is a very, very important time. Democracy is on the ballot. Please get engaged. Share this podcast. Talk to your neighbors. We got a lot of work to do, folks. See you next week.